Bulldog Live here on the Pulse at 1-866-823-1077. Well, this week, both Massachusetts and Connecticut utilities regulators approved Northeast Utilities' $5 billion purchase of the Massachusetts energy company NSTAR. And Massachusetts officials doing that yesterday. Connecticut regulators approving the deal on Monday. So there you go. You'll have the largest utility in New England, for sure, with those two. So what does that spell? We'll see. We shall see. Well, another thing that has been an issue of contention, and that dating back to at least February, when Executive Counselor Ray Burton was holding his own hearings, public hearings, on Governor Lynch's nominees for the New Hampshire Public Utilities Commission. And Michael Harrington and Bob Scott both appeared with Ray Burton at two separate public hearings, one in Laconia that I attended and shared with you a good bit of audio from that, including a question that had come up about pensions that either of those two nominees would have received from PS&H, NSTAR, any other financial interest in, say, Northern Pass, or any other utility that would be regulated, or issues that would come before the New Hampshire Public Utilities Commission. Well, as we know, last month, the Executive Council approved all the nominations, including Amy Ignatius, who will serve as the Public Utilities Commission chair, and Bob Scott, and then Michael Harrington approved, with one dissenting vote from Ray Burton on the Michael Harrington nomination. And that has really started a whole lot of questions about Michael Harrington's impartiality regarding issues that would come before the Public Utilities Commission regarding public service of New Hampshire and Northeast Utilities, to which Michael Harrington will be receiving a quite substantial pension from Northeast Utilities. And that's where Jim Dennis, who is a resident of Dalton and a PS&H ratepayer, filed a couple of motions to raise a lot of questions for the PUC to consider. And there's been a ruling on one of those motions yesterday. And Jim Dennis joins us here on Bulldog Live. Jim, how are you today?
Hey, Brian, how are you? Good to be here.
All right. Well, quite a few things to cover in this. You actually were a party to two motions that were filed.
Well, right. The first motion was a motion to ask the PUC for basically permission to address them, because we were just ratepayers, and so we asked if we could participate. The PUC granted that motion, and then we made a motion to disqualify Commissioner Harrington, because as ratepayers who pay PS&H bills, we just didn't think it's right to have a PUC commissioner who is sitting there making a decision as to what rates we should pay as ratepayers when he's collecting a pension from Northeast Utilities.
Exactly. And the one of the near future the things to be heard is the PS&H scrubber costs.
Absolutely. And, you know, to put some of the numbers in context, the PS&H scrubber costs could add up to $300 million or more to PS&H's rate base. And as we all know, every single nickel that PS&H spends on its rate base comes out of the pockets of ratepayers.
Right, exactly. And so what happened is you had this motion to disqualify Michael Harrington from these issues, which, unfortunately, the majority of the business that comes before the PUC involves PS&H, I would suspect.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a big point to be made here, Brian, and you've really, in a way, you've got to pity the poor PUC. There is a what we learned is there is apparently a long-standing practice of having PS&H alums move over to the PUC, and when a PS&H alum goes over to the PUC, guess what? Oftentimes, there's some sort of ongoing financial relationship, like a pension. And so, as we understand it, a former chairman of the PUC was collecting, or was entitled to collect, a pension based on his service to PS&H. Harrington himself was a PUC commissioner several years ago in the exact same circumstances. The fellow was entitled to collect a pension. There may be others as well. So the PUC basically is populated by people who are on the pension payroll of the largest utility, as you point out, that constitutes the bulk of the business the PUC does.
Exactly. Now, this motion to disqualify, there was a ruling on it yesterday by the PUC.
There was. The PUC, by a 2-0 vote, and it's a 2-0 vote because the third commissioner, Commissioner Scott, had recused himself entirely from the scrubber proceeding. By a 2-0 vote, the PUC found that even though Michael Harrington stands to collect close to $500,000 in pension payments from Northeast Utilities, some of which will be funded by PSNH, they found he didn't have a conflict.
And Michael Harrington got to vote on whether he should recuse himself or not.
Yeah, I got to say, from up here in Dalton, we just sort of have to pinch ourselves as we try to understand whether this can really be true. I guess if we were talking about Venezuela or Kazakhstan, it would seem sensible. But as we understand it, because Scott recused himself, there were two commissioners left. In order for the commission to make a determination, it needs a majority vote. What's a majority of two? A majority of two is two. You need both votes. Mm-hmm. So as we understand it, Harrington himself, by voting not to disqualify himself, could effectively block any action to disqualify him. I mean, it's like a house of mirrors.
Right, and even if it was a 1-1 vote, let's say that the chair, Amy Ignatius, decided to have him recused, it still would have tied, and the motion still would have failed.
We're no experts on PUC process or internal rules, but it sure would seem that way. It's just bizarre. If you put yourself, lift yourself out of the PUC and join the real world, in the real world, what should have happened is Harrington should have stepped down from the consideration of his disqualification. They should have appointed an independent temporary commissioner and investigated the matter and made a determination.
Well, so here's what we have from what I'm seeing. We have a public perception out there now that you have, and we've used this term, regulatory capture, before. We have that perception that is now played out, and then we have, but we do have some bright points, I guess, that could come out of this, don't we?
There really are, and I think there are three points that ratepayers can actually be happy about. I mean, the first point is that my wife Sandy and I walked into the PUC. We'd never been there before. We had no idea where to sit. We sit down and we say we'd like to intervene. PSNH, of course, argues strenuously that we should be shut out, but the PUC said no. They're ratepayers. They have a right to speak. That's good news because it means ratepayers can come in to the PUC and make their points.
Okay, so that's one point.
I think the second point really comes back, Brian, to what you said at the Executive Council about the Executive Council. Remember that Governor Lynch nominated Harrington, and the Executive Council confirmed Harrington without any disclosure whatsoever of the amount of Harrington's pension. This man could have been receiving millions of dollars, and the Executive Council said, "We don't care. We will confirm him, and we won't ask him to disclose the amount, and we will not let the public know the amount." It took Sandy and me going to the PUC and intervening to force a disclosure of the amounts of his pension payments. We're hopeful that next time this comes up, the Executive Council will do a better job. We're hopeful this precedent will mean that every time someone's nominated to the PUC, they'll find it necessary to disclose what amount of money they stand to collect from regulated utilities.
All right, so on one hand, while the decision didn't go in your favor, the other hand shows that the PUC at least has a process for ratepayers to ask questions.
Absolutely. And the third thing that's good is, again, as you point out, Brian, the public is increasingly skeptical about the legitimacy of the Public Utilities Commission. Look, the public is skeptical about government in general. This is not the time when the governor and the Executive Council should toss a fellow onto the PUC who stands to collect money from utilities. It's ridiculous. And so the third sort of good point here is if the public wanted to have a window on how the political process and PUC process operates, boy, they've got a good one here. When you pay your bills and you wonder why they're so high, just ask yourself, why do we have officials who stick alums of the utilities on the commission?
Yeah, there you go. Now, I've shared with my listeners the audio of the question that came up during the February hearing that Councillor Ray Burton held in Laconia. And then we have the Ann Ross, who is the general counsel for the Public Utilities Commission, actually released the dollar amounts of the pension that Michael Harrington stands to receive from Northeast Utilities.
Yeah, and the dollar amounts to us are absolutely shocking in the context of a fellow who's going to sit and judge rate cases as between ratepayers and the utilities. If you take the numbers that Ms. Ross released, and you take the number for a single utility, you multiply it out by the actuarial rough actuarial expectation of 20 years of Harrington's receiving the pension, the man will collect almost $500,000. Now, maybe he's a multimillionaire. Maybe he's got a palace in Monaco. Maybe he drives Maseratis. Maybe $500,000 means nothing to him. And so maybe the PUC is right. You know, $500,000 means nothing in terms of how he's going to think. But for most people in New Hampshire, $500,000 means something.
Sure, exactly. And looking at this, too, we have not only the dollar amounts that would be in question, but, of course, how we had to get to it to find out what those dollar amounts were.
Well, that's the point, Brian, that I'm sure your listeners will really think hard about. Why does it take the time and effort of a ratepayer to drive 2 hours to Concord and file papers and sit in a proceeding in order to get these amounts disclosed to the public? Why on earth wouldn't they be disclosed as part of the normal political process?
And that's where the executive council should have pressed a little bit harder, I think.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, PS&H's response in trying to keep Mr. Harrington in on these hearings, they were saying that, and Michael Harrington said it himself back in February, this is a defined pension plan, and that nothing his decisions would say has anything to do with what he would stand to get from Northeast Utilities, and the PS&H referred to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation.
Well, it's actually very amusing. If you follow all of the responses made by PS&H and Harrington, the Attorney General's office, and the PUC, it's like shooting at a moving target. The first response that came from the hearings and from Harrington was, well, it's a defined benefit plan, so it doesn't matter to me. Yeah, that's, again, just on its face ridiculous. That just because there's a regular stream of payments, it's not a financial interest and not a conflict. So does that mean Harrington could buy $1 million worth of Northeast Utilities bonds and say he's all okay?
Yeah, there you go.
And then the second response came from, I think it was the AG's office, and Sandy and I read it a few times. We struggled to find any rationale at all, and the best that we could find was they said that because in the past we've had PUC commissioners who collect pensions from PS&H or other regulated utilities, because we did it in the past, we can do it again.
So two wrongs do make a right.
Well, I guess in New Hampshire. And then at the hearing itself at the PUC, you could see that PS&H was just and first of all, imagine this picture. Imagine a commissioner that we believe is just flatly conflicted, right? And then imagine PS&H, the largest regulated utility in New Hampshire, sitting there and arguing strenuously that the conflicted commissioner, who's conflicted because he's going to get money that ultimately comes from PS&H, he should keep sitting. What a picture.
It sure is. Well, 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number, where callers are always welcome to join the conversation. And Jim Dennis joining us here. And Jim, let's take a call, shall we? We have Crawford from Concord who wants to chime in. Good morning, Crawford. You're on with Jim Dennis.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Crawford.
Hi. I actually read a prior article put out by Real. I don't know if you were responsible for writing it or not, but I noticed that there was that the folks that did write it pointed out three statutes that were being violated by having Harrington continue participation as a PUC commissioner.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, where's the teeth to enforce this? Because it sounds like what you're saying today is that essentially the game is up. The PUC commissioners, including the one in question, have decided that, nope, doesn't apply to me.
Well, that's a really great question. And yeah, let me give two parts to the answer. What the PUC was flailing, in our view, in our opinion, the PUC was flailing around looking for a way to keep Harrington on. Because if they took Harrington off, they'd have to say, well, gee, we've been wrong for the last 10 years, and we've been wrong in the past. We've got to now clean our shop out of these PSNH alums. They couldn't do that. So they're flailing around. What they did is they decided the best rationale they could support the conclusion they had to come to was to say, well, in Harrington's case, his pension is within the limits of this federal agency guarantee, Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. And so they said, well, because if Northeast Utilities goes bankrupt, this federal agency may pay his pension, well, then they say he doesn't have any interest. Again, that's just ridiculous on its face. One of the statutes we pointed out, RSA 363.5, says any person who has a financial interest in a registered utility or an affiliate is disqualified, a financial interest. It doesn't say,
right.
It doesn't say, oops, footnote, by the way, and if that interest may have a government guarantee, this doesn't apply. That's not in the statute. It says, do you have a financial interest? And so we believe the statutes clearly take Harrington out of the box in terms of his right to be a commissioner, but we have this PUC decision. Where does it go from here? Well, the question is, will it get to a New Hampshire court? And if it gets to a New Hampshire court, what will a New Hampshire court do?
So there is a follow-up step then that you guys are pushing this to get to a New Hampshire court?
Well, we haven't, Crawford, we haven't decided yet. Sandy and I are still evaluating the order and evaluating exactly how it would how an appeal would work out. But there is absolutely the potential to appeal this to a court and to seek to have the PUC's determination overturned.
Okay. And one last question on this. I'm assuming that the Attorney General of New Hampshire is aware that this is going on. Couldn't and shouldn't they, considering their position, be trying to enforce the provisions of RSA 363?
People of New Hampshire who care about this should pick up the phone and ask them exactly that question.
Didn't the Attorney General issue an opinion on the morning of the confirmation hearing?
Right, but remember, read the opinion. It's posted to the real website. Read the opinion. That's why I said moving target. The opinion basically said the rationale was because it's a defined benefit pension plan, again, irrelevant, because there is a trustee of the plan, irrelevant, and because we've done it in the past, wrongful to the public and irrelevant. Nowhere did the Attorney General's opinion mention the PBGC. That's why, again, it's a moving target. Now they're looking, the PUC is looking for some way to keep this thing going. People should just stand up and object to this kind of thing.
Okay.
There you go. Well, Crawford,
thank you very much.
Questions. Thank you very much for your call.
Thanks,
Take
Crawford.
Care. You know, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, Jim Danis, you know, I was watching C-SPAN last night and just happened to stumble across the director of the PBGC, and he was talking about how woefully underfunded that agency is.
you know, it's actually funny, Bulldog. You and I could make a public offer today to guarantee the $1 billion of underfunding in Northeast Utilities pension plans. We could say, well, you know, Brian Tilton and Jim Danish are guaranteeing Northeast Utilities. Do you think that would make investors in Northeast Utilities really happy? Would they say, okay, oh, we're all set now. We don't need to worry about it. The problem's taken care of. I don't think so, because I think they'd say, well, gee, maybe Jim Danish and Brian Tilton don't probably have $1 billion to close up that pension funding hole.
I don't.
the PBGC is in horrible, horrible financial condition. This agency guarantees these old-style corporate pensions like General Motors and the steel industry, the airlines industry, the kinds of things that none of us have anymore, right? Because companies have stopped giving out these old-style pensions. They're too expensive.
Right.
So instead, we have IRAs and 401ks. So the PBGC guarantees these old-style pensions. Obviously, a lot of these companies are going bankrupt or have gone bankrupt. So the PBGC has this great big load of old pension obligations it's got to pay. Where does the PBGC get its money from? It charges alive ongoing pension plans or the companies that sponsor them an insurance premium. Well, obviously, as the number of pension plans, you know, roots down to zero because everybody's canceling them or they're going bankrupt, the source of premium revenues to the PBGC goes down. The fewer pension plans stay alive, the less money the PBGC gets. As of 2011, the PBGC had a $26 billion deficit. It had a funding ratio almost as bad as Northeast Utilities. You know, I'm an investor, and as I look forward into the way the world will likely look in 7, 8, 9, 10 years, I would certainly not put a lot of weight by the fact that the PBGC may be around to pay my pension. It may well not be.
All right. Well, Jim Dennis, with that, I've got to run. Thank you very much for joining us and telling us about the case here regarding Michael Harrington and the PUC, he being allowed to stay on for the PSNH scrubber hearings. And people can find out more at ResponsibleEnergyAction.com, the blog that Crawford was referring to in his call.
Thank you, Bulldog.
All right. Take care. We'll talk again sometime.